I think we'll begin here. I don't know if we're gonna get many more people. That was wrong. So this is like the last panel on this floor. Last panel of the day. One of the last panels of PAX. So welcome. We get how's everyone's PAX been?
That's a good, strong, positive response.
Okay, so we are the Carve. We are the whole Carve.
That's the whole one. It's us.
We're a Monster Hunter podcast. We're a weekly Monster Hunter podcast where we focus on the average hunter.
Yeah, the pleb podcast.
No, that sounds like bad.
Yeah,
no,
probably shouldn't say that.
So my name is Steve.
I'm Micah.
And we do a weekly Monster Hunter podcast called The Carve. I said that. So we found that there are a lot of Monster Hunter communities that either are very new focused, or like, I'm a new hunter, how do I play this game? Or they're very high focused, where I'm HR999 and I've been playing for 10 plus years and we felt there was nothing in between. So we tried to fill that void of in between. We both really, really love Monster Hunter. And we wanted to create an outlet for also people who love Monster Hunter that just didn't care about min-maxing, and also they're past the beginning days.
Yeah.
So that's who we are. We're going to talk a little bit about our podcast and what we do weekly, because if you like us up here, then maybe you want to tune in. We also stream Monster Hunter, but that's again, if you're interested in more content from us. And then the other part of our panel here is we're going to talk about how you can get your friends into Monster Hunter, or how maybe we or other people can help you get into Monster Hunter if you're unfamiliar with that. We're in like a really weird time for Monster Hunter because Monster Hunter World comes out in less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And so we...
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And so what is out there to talk about, we've kind of already exhausted in the last couple weeks through our show. So we could talk about that, and then it's kind of weird to talk about old Monster Hunter stuff at this point because no one cares about that right now because everyone's riding that hype train that is Monster Hunter World. So because that hype train exists and because people are so excited, we wanted to touch on, like, you guys probably have friends that have never played Monster Hunter or maybe find that very difficult, so we kind of want to share some tips and just our experiences with the game and how we've gotten our friends into Monster Hunter, because that's kind of why we started the podcast. Speaking of that, who we are and our goals. So I already said, my name is Steve. I started the Carve about 6 months ago with Micah, who we've been doing a different podcast for a while called It's Super Effective, which is a Pokemon podcast. I've been doing that for 8 years. So when it comes to saying Pokemon names wrong and monsters in Monster Hunter names wrong, I'm good at both. I butcher a lot of the English language.
It's incredible.
So when we started the Monster Hunter podcast, we had three specific goals. The first goal was to create a weekly Monster Hunter podcast. I think it's just very important that we were consistent in our content and be able to provide that to you guys or who wants to seek that out. We wanted to create a podcast that is positive with the focus of seeing the series succeed. So again, we're both huge Monster Hunter fans. We wanted a positive environment because we just didn't want to come on it. We just didn't want to talk about Monster Hunter and complain about certain aspects of it. That's not to say that there aren't things we don't like, but when people come and listen to the show, we want them to have like a good time.
Yeah. It's inevitable that when you're passionate about something that you have complaints about it, but we want it to generally be a positive experience talking about it.
And then our last point was we wanted to help new players understand Monster Hunter and enjoy Monster Hunter to the fullest. I think that's really important because Monster Hunter is a very overwhelming game, which kind of leads into our experiences and when we should talk about like how we got into Monster Hunter, because I think we're both very different, and I think a lot of people can remember getting into Monster Hunter because if you're here and you like Monster Hunter, it probably impacted you in some way. So for me, I got into Monster Hunter during Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on the Wii U. I, like many, bought a Wii U right when it came out and realized there was little to no games on the Wii U. And so I was clawing and scratching for anything to satisfy my need for purchasing this console. And I found the Monster Hunter 3U demo in the eShop. And prior to that, I've heard on other gaming podcasts, that Monster Hunter was this great game. It was really big in Japan. It's making an imprint in the West. And so after hearing people talk about Monster Hunter, I was like, man, that sounds really cool. And I loaded up the demo, and I bought the Legambi.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, all right. Well, one for one so
I'm
far.
Impressed.
Don't worry, I'll disappoint you all soon.
Throw me off here.
So, if you don't know, it's like this bear snow rabbit. And so I went in with, I think, the Sword and Shield or Great Sword, whichever one they recommended first, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And I think my friend Aaron was with me, and he was like, this game looks bad. And I was like, yeah, but people keep talking about how great it is. So I switched to the next weapon. I did Great Sword and Sword and Shield. Those were my first two. And again, hated it. And I gave the controller to Aaron, gave him a try, and he was like, yeah, this isn't good. I was like, oh, man, I want this to be good. So I went through the weapon list, and there was something about it, and I can't ever, like, describe it, but there was something about it where normally if I play a demo or a game that's not enjoyable, I move on. There's plenty of other games out there, but there was something about Monster Hunter that I kept trying to understand, and I got down to the dual blades, and that's when I realized, like, oh, this is what I like. This is what I want, and then after enjoying that weapon, I still couldn't kill this giant bear snow rabbit. So I kept doing it. And finally, it was when I finally killed it. And I think we all remember the very first monster we've killed. There's that just rush of accomplishment of like, I bet I can do that again, but faster. And then I've then went on and tested other weapons, and I fell in love with a hammer.
Yeah, there's that hammer love.
And then quickly after, I purchased the game, and I suckered my friends into purchasing the game. And even Aaron, who was sitting next to me, being like, this game doesn't seem very good. I was like, no, it clicked with me, and it clicked with him. And that's how I got into the franchise. So that was Monster Hunter 3U. I bought both the Wii U version and the 3DS version, but I was a big fan of it on the big screen. So what about you?
I started back at the first Monster Hunter on PS2, very briefly. My brother is 6 years older than I am, and we're very close. And as a younger brother, I got to take the back seat to a lot of watching him play video games. So I got to watch a lot of him play Monster Hunter, and I tried it every now and then, and I didn't really understand what was happening. He did, but I didn't. The big experience with it for me, though, was Freedom Unite on the PSP. That was the first real, like, we got to sit next to each other, and we both got to play it, and it was, some time had passed, and, you know, we were growing closer, and we got to do a lot of cool things together in that game. And also, the next step was 3U. And at that point, my brother lived in Philadelphia, and we're from Wisconsin. And so it was quite a trek to get from Wisconsin to Philadelphia. But when I would go to visit him, I'd sit on the couch. We'd spend probably the entire weekend sitting on the couch, and he would play on the Wii U, and I'd play on my 3DS, and we'd hunt together. And that was the kind of like the first time that I was like, this is a good game for just hanging out and, you know, enjoying time together, and it was a good way to bond. So
yeah,
ever since then, we've both been pretty big Monster Hunter fans and talk about it frequently. And
also for me, another big thing that really impacted me, and I remember to this day, is just how nice and welcoming the Monster Hunter community is.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to me, like, actually getting into the game, like my first 40 hours, I don't even think I was past Hunter rank 2.
Yeah.
I think I was still trying to, like, figure out everything and understanding crafting and everything, because it's a very, at least, Monster Hunter games have changed and have gotten easier and more welcoming, but at the time, I was still trying to struggle and figure it out. But to, like, just jump online and to hunt a monster and just have people being so welcoming and being so friendly and just helpful, you don't see that in a lot of other games. Coming from the Pokemon community, there are some really amazing and great people in the Pokemon world, but there are also some not amazing and great people in the Pokemon world. And for the most part, I've only had nothing but good experience with Monster Hunter fans. They're just really great. They're really awesome. And I fall into that category of I would rather help somebody hunt than just do it myself. And I think a lot of Monster Hunter fans feel that way of like, oh, I've killed I killed Legacris? Legacross?
That's you're close.
I'm Legiacross. Legiacris.
It's you're in there.
It's hard. It's hard, guys. But Leggy, yeah,
Leggy,
I know the community
there
calls it Leggy. I've killed Leggy probably 30 or 40 times, so I don't need to kill it again. But if Michael was like, "Hey, can we kill Leggy?" Like, yeah, absolutely. And I feel like a lot of Monster Hunter fans have that thing of like, I've killed a Rathalan 200 times, but hey, I'll do it again because I know it helps you out.
Rathalan.
I know. I did that one
killing
on purpose.
It. I love it.
I did that one on purpose.
We considered that we would just, instead of talking about Monster Hunter, we would spend an hour getting him to pronounce monster names, which I feel like would maybe also be enjoyable.
Yeah, we were talking to the guys at Capcom, which they're very, very nice. And if you guys don't know, Gaijin Hunter is a very big influence in the Monster Hunter world, and he did this video with his daughter, Yuna. Yuna?
Yep.
Yeah. Where he properly pronounced all the monsters' names, and so I think we should do a video of me pronouncing, because yeah, it would be way worse. And Gaijin Hunter is a friend of the show. He's very, very nice and he's very awesome. And we'll talk about more resources that you guys can gravitate towards the end of the show. But yeah, I think that's our experiences in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing the podcast for 6 months and we've grown pretty quickly because of how great the community has been.
How many people, show of hands, have played Monster Hunter before? Okay. I see a few that haven't.
Yeah.
And that's good.
That's good.
This is
so everyone
this is
that raised
smart.
Their hands, please leave. We're only going to be talking. All right. So getting into Monster Hunter, like I said earlier, this might not be the world's longest panel because, again, I'm sure you guys are tired. It's been a very long PAX. The show floor is only going to be open for an hour after this. So I try to respect your time here and kind of go through. But this is what we really wanted to talk about, because I think this is what Micah and I are both passionate about, is getting new people into the series. So we have a couple bullet points that we'll expand on, but there is a Monster Hunter World beta open to everyone on PS4 next weekend,
yep,
starting on the 18th through the 21st, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And it will have, if you've played the betas previously, it's going to have the same monsters, plus Nirgigante.
Yeah, that was. I mean, it was
right.
Close enough.
It's all right.
It's good enough.
Who is an Elder Dragon? So, if you have friends that are curious of getting a Monster Hunter, I think it's important to, one, tell them that this beta exists. It's the third time it's come around, and I know plenty of people that missed turn one and two, especially since the second time it happened was around Christmas, where mm-hmm. people are traveling, and that might be good for people who are staying at home. But it didn't work out for me. And then the first time you had to have PlayStation Plus. So there are still plenty of people who might not have played the beta. So please encourage them. And I think it's important to play with them. Monster Hunter is such a social game and it's such a community-focused game that, like, just don't tell your friend to, like, hey, get the Monster Hunter beta. All right, what'd you think? Like, for me, playing with my friend Aaron, playing with my fiance Irene, playing with you, like, that's what I cared about. And even though, like, we kept losing to Kuropeko 100 times in a row. I think I said that one right too. It was still super fun because we were close. We were slowly making progress every time. So if you are going to encourage and get your friends in, the easiest thing you can do is just play with them.
And it also gives you an opportunity, I would say, even outside of the beta, if they decide to get the game when it launches, just schedule time to be like, hey, if you're free on Friday or you're free on Saturday or whatever, and you want to do a couple hunts, let's do a couple hunts. If you have questions about it, there's voice chat, we can talk about it or whatever. Just get to help them get to know.
Or there's the sweet thumbs up emotes.
Yeah, or don't even use voice chat. Just use stickers.
Stickers.
Thumbs up. Palicos. Use some meat stickers, I guess. Whatever you got to do.
The other thing is be patient with people. I remember when I first started hunting, my hunts would go to time, which is 50 minutes. And now I can do mostly everything in 7 minutes. And I'm sure there are people out there like, 7 minutes? That takes forever. I'm the average hunter, guys. But like, understand that it takes time and be patient. And especially when they're trying to discover the weapon, because I think for me, in my story that I used, it took me a long time to figure out what weapon I actually really liked.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about World is they can run back to the tent real quick and switch that out and continue, whereas in past games, it was like, well, we got to end the hunt, go switch gear and everything. So
I'm still not 100% sure what going into world what weapon I want to go with at this point.
Yeah, but your experience.
Longsword is looking pretty good though.
Longsword is great. I almost leaned towards the light bow gun.
So you're aware that it's not just monster names.
Yeah, it's everything. But I'm gonna settle on hammer for world.
Yeah, for me. The old classic. And as far as patience goes, too, like just I know it's really easy when you're experienced with it to get frustrated that they're not doing what level of ability you have, and you know you may want to just say I'm gonna just solo it myself because it's faster and it's easier for me to do that and I can do that.
Or they might be hitting you on accident.
Yeah, but if you stick it out and you help them learn, then you have somebody then that you can, you know, do these things with in the future, and you can, you know, maybe have a lot of really great memories, and you can, you know, have somebody that's reliable as a hunter once they learn, once you're patient, you know, working through that with them. So I think that's a very important thing.
Very easy to make comparison to other games that they might like or they may enjoy. I think the Monster Hunter community blew up when a headline went around that Monster Hunter is like Destiny and Dark Souls plus dinosaurs. And
I purposefully wore my Dark Souls shirt today for that reason.
So some people like that comparison, some people don't, but I think it's important to understand why those things are said. I usually compare Monster Hunter to stuff like Diablo or like Destiny or like Borderlands, just because if people like those games, they probably like the loot aspect to those games, and that's what I love about Monster Hunter. I love games that give you loot. I love those a lot. I like Pokemon because you can collect stuff, and in Monster Hunter, it's very satisfying for me to build a complete set of armor.
Mm-hmm.
I like to look real good when I hunt. I don't really care what my stats are as long as I'm looking fly when
Isn't
I'm out
Isn't that what
there.
It's all about, really? I think as long as the comparisons are justified, yeah, I think that it's okay.
And right,
I think,
if you just say Diablo right off the bat, people are like, those are not nearly the same games. But,
right.
but if I'm comparing, like, hey, you like Diablo because you like getting sick loot, you're probably going to like Monster Hunter because that is also a loot-based game.
Right. And we talked on one of our previous episodes about that specific comparison that was drawn to Dark Souls and Destiny and all that. And we talked specifically about the comparison to Dark Souls, and I think that that's totally a justifiable comparison to make because it's such a steep learning curve between those two games. And it does take a lot of patience. And if you are co-oping with somebody through Dark Souls, it takes a lot of patience getting to, you know, helping them figure out, like, Perry, don't do that. Don't walk around that corner. Please block when you're walking around that corner. And I, as long as they're justified, I think it's okay.
And I think the Destiny comparison is really good if people like to play the same content over and over. Because as we said before, you're probably going to hunt the same monster a dozen or more times.
Mm-hmm.
And in Destiny, you're going to play that same stuff in Destiny a dozen or more times. So I think, you know, if you have a friend that's, you know, loves Destiny, this might be an easy move. If they love Diablo, this might be an easy move. And if they love Dark Souls, again, an easy move, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
It's just not a Dark Souls clone. It's just not a Destiny clone. So, I know you have a bunch of notes that aren't in the bullet point, but I do want to point out don't carry,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a huge thing. I've definitely gotten carried before. Where I'm like, I am not supposed to be here, and if this monster touches me, I'm going to die instantly. So I guess I'm just going to mine some rocks as you guys do that stuff. There are instances where it's like, okay, I've played Monster Hunter, I just want to get through this faster. But if they're new to Monster Hunter, I think it's important not to carry. What I've always done instead when I'm helping people is I carry extra life powers or extra things that that increase their armor, increase their attack, or obviously life powder to make sure they don't die. And so I'll kind of stay a little bit back and pop those when needed, watching their health and everything, and kind of let them do the work because taking down the monster is like the greatest part. And if they are carded and they're back at camp and you take down the monster, well, now it's not that great for them.
Right. I think it's a twofold reasoning, partly because of that. Like, you don't get that experience. It's not fun. But also because you're not helping them grow. If you're carrying somebody, you're helping them get the gear, but you're not giving them the tools or the ability that they need to to utilize that gear in the future. They can look really great with amazing gear, but that doesn't mean they're going to be able to take down the monster because they don't totally know what they're doing.
Right. And give them little goals to do if they're new. For example, if they're a sword user, tell them to focus on the tail. And you're going to see the satisfaction when they cut that tail off and they're like, oh my gosh, I cut the tail off and I'm going to carve it right now. And it's like, oh, don't carve it right now. He's about to attack.
He's right there.
If they're a hammer user, give them the satisfaction of getting that KO, getting that knockout. Because as soon as that monster goes down, they'll know that they did that. Or, you know, hopefully they know that they did that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, stuff like that. Give them little goals to do. I think that's really important. Because if we all love Monster Hunter, I think the one thing we all want is for more of our friends and family and people we know to also love Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
What else have you got on your bullet list of things not up here?
I think being understanding and compassionate is a good thing, too. I think sometimes when people are getting to a point where they're feeling like they're not advancing in a game or they're getting frustrated, and this can apply to anything, if you give them the time to take their break or step away from it, and let them air their grievances about what it is specifically that they're burning out on, I think talking them through that can help them understand why it is the way it is, or why, you know, I think a lot of times, especially with you know, people who play games, it's really easy to be like, I'm not understanding this aspect of it and I'm getting frustrated because of it, therefore it's bad. It's a bad thing in the game. And it's easy to say that, but if you have somebody to help explain why that thing is the way it is and why the game works that way and how to get around that, I think, you know, not forcefully doing so, but being compassionate about it and saying, like, I get why you feel that way, but this is why it's that way. I think that can maybe help them get over that hump of feeling really upset that, you know, they don't understand why using a greatsword they're so slow and somebody else that they're playing with who's using dual blades is way faster than they are. And
and to like piggyback off that, I think it's really important that if they die, or in the Monster Hunter world usually it's like if they carded, which if you don't know, it's just if they die and they go back to camp, that they get dropped off by two adorable cats pushing them in a cart. It's really great. If they die, I think it's very important just to say it's okay, like it's cool, it's not that big of a deal. And
we got two more.
We'll be fine. But don't die that last time. No, I think that's totally okay. I have failed plenty of hunts, and it's fine. It's no big deal. You learn from that, right? It's like, okay, I know what I did wrong. I brought in the wrong armor set. I forgot to eat. I didn't restock on potions. Like, failing is a really good learning experience, and it definitely happens all the time. And just because you've been playing Monster Hunter for 10 years and they've been playing for about 10 minutes, it's just a very simple thing. It's like holding the door for somebody. Like, you can do it, but if they say thank you, it's just like, yeah, I did it. I opened the door.
I did it. So proud.
But yeah, being like, it's no big deal when they die goes a long way for people who just started off. Most of my audience is a Pokemon audience, so having them see that I've gotten more involved with Monster Hunter just past the fact that I enjoy the games, but I'm trying to do more with the community. They have slowly gotten into Monster Hunter. And one of the biggest things I've heard is, like, the map is confusing. It's very hard to get around or to find the monster. I feel like when I find the monster, I'm missing out on so much because I spend so much time exploring. And for me, it was just as simple as going, like, what's giving you difficulty? Is it the map? Is it getting lost? And it just came down to, like, I don't understand the map. I don't understand the scout flies. This was during the beta. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to open the map. I'm going to show you that this is the whole map. Understand that there are three levels because this is a new thing for World. And if you, I think it's R3. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not sure. But if you find my character and hit R3, you're going to lock onto me. And those scout flies are going to take you straight to me, and you're never going to get lost. I know the map very well. I'll find the monster instantly, but if you're getting lost and you can't find me, these scout flies are going to take you to me. And that changed the game for a bunch of people I was playing with. Like, they just didn't know.
Yeah.
And once they were able to find me quickly, which helps them find the monster, their enjoyment of the game just skyrocketed because now they see the monster and now they're just not like, well, I guess I'm going to collect these rocks. These berries look cool. I guess I'll collect a little bit of those. Maybe the monster will show up. So there are just like little things you can do. Try to understand why people are frustrated and try to address that. I mean, if their big complaint was the map, awesome. We just solved that. Please let me know what your next issue is. We can go from there.
And if they, you know, decide to take on another monster mid-hunt on a specific monster, just kindly remind them, hey, let's maybe focus on the task at hand.
It's not our target.
Not our target currently. But, I mean, I feel like this one doesn't necessarily need to be said, but I'll say it anyways. Just don't call, I made a joke about it when we started, but don't call everybody scrubs, don't call everybody plebs. Like, if you're trying to get them into it, like, be nice about it, you know? If you're joking, that's one thing, but I think a lot of times it can be a turnoff to be like, well, I guess I'm just a scrub or a pleb, like, why do I need to, you know?
Yeah.
Just having a good attitude, I think, is a good way to get people interested and keep going.
Yeah. Also, I think when you're helping others, use that to your advantage, too. Normally, if I'm helping others, I won't use the hammer, and I will use a weapon I'm unfamiliar with so I can understand more weapons and also kind of like feel like I'm in their shoes of, I've never used this hunting horn, and it's real confusing right now. But I that's just a personal thing I do, because I do want to understand all the weapons and what they do, so I can personally get better at the game. You got anything else on that list?
I got a couple.
Okay.
They're just really, like, quick bullet points. Inside jokes, there's a lot of them in Monster Hunter. Try to explain them if they come up. If somebody gets, you know, there's an inside joke being made, try to involve them in it, because I think a lot of times for a specific gamer community, somebody that's new to it can feel kind of turned off as well if they're like, I don't know what that means, but everybody keeps saying it, and I'm not going to ask about it because then I just look like an idiot. And
yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not a, like, positive environment, I think.
Like, also understand, too, that your friends still, your friends or family or whoever you might be trying to convince, or maybe you and the audience that have not played Monster Hunter, like, understand that they still might not be interested until after the game comes out. There are plenty of games that I haven't been interested in until I started listening to other podcasts. One I reference a lot that I really like is the Giant Bombcast. And I had zero interest in Persona 5. And then they kept talking about it week after week. I was like, I guess I'm buying Persona 5 this week. So you might have friends that fall under that same thing where you've been talking about Monster Hunter or loving Monster Hunter, and they might come a week or two later to the game. Mm-hmm. And so helping them is understandable, or just there's gonna be a lot of people that start playing in 2 weeks, and there will probably be a lot more people playing a little bit after that because they might not pick it up on launch day.
Yeah, I think this is probably the biggest point maybe in Monster Hunter history in the West. This is the first huge reach for Monster Hunter here, as evidenced by, you know, when they did the betas, it was the number one game on Twitch. I don't think that's ever happened for a Monster Hunter game. There are so many people that have huge audiences, too, that are playing it for the first time and sharing it with those huge audiences. And there are a lot of people who never cared about Monster Hunter before that have their eyes on it now. And I think it's good to start to, you know, prepare ourselves to expand our community and be opening and welcome.
They're all gonna learn how nice we are.
Yeah. And how badly we mispronounce things.
Yeah. Is that all your bullet points?
Yeah, and then there's you know, community resources too, but I think if you wanna.
Yeah, so we'll talk about community resources. I think this mic is live if anyone has any questions for us. If not, no big deal. But we can go through resources and if not, we can then let you enjoy the rest of the rest of PAX. I think there's going to be an hour left if we do actually end at 5. But if anyone has any questions, you know, feel free. Otherwise, we can talk about resources if you guys are thinking of any. So there's a resource here, but we'll talk about them last. But the first one that we recommend is Eric's Gaming. Eric's is a really big YouTuber that talks about more than Monster Hunter, but he does focus on Monster Hunter, The Division, Destiny, a couple other games. But Eric's is a really, really super great guy. We've talked to him twice. He's been on the podcast two times now, but we've talked to him outside of that, and he's just a really great resource. He's just a super nice guy, and he knows what he's talking about when it comes to Monster Hunter. Mm-hmm. And he also understands the importance of breaking it down and making it easy for new people to get in. So that's a great resource. We mentioned Gaijin Hunter earlier, which is one of the resources I used when I originally got into the game. Gaijin Hunter is really, really great. He does really, really good weapon tutorials. So there was a point in time where I was trying to learn the hunting horn, and I probably watched that video five or six times before I decided, you know what? I just can't do this weapon. It's just not for me.
It's just not for me.
It's like trying to, like, my comparison is it's like trying to use, like, Bowser in Mario Kart when I'm so used to using a lighter character.
Yeah.
It's like I get why people use Bowser or heavier characters, but, like, for me, the most fun I had was when I used the lighter weight characters.
Yeah.
And that's okay if you don't like a weapon. There are 14 weapons, and I think they do a very good job at making them distinct and different.
Somehow you managed to make a Mario Kart comparison to Monster Hunter.
I fit it in.
And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the reason that I like Eric's so much is because he has such accessible content. Like, it's really easy to just sit down and watch one of his videos and really get the gist of everything in such a short time frame. And I think that's good for people who are new to it and don't want to spend a ton of time watching maybe like an hour long video about, you know, that's a breakdown of a trailer or why this monster is this way or whatever. And Gaijin Hunter, like you said, the weapon tutorials, also a very nice guy. Very, you can tell that he's a nice guy just by listening to him and his videos. And I think that creates a welcoming atmosphere for new people. And I think that's a good place to point people if they're new to it and they're looking to learn weapons, because his, I don't know,
demeanor
is very welcoming. There's a lot of really great YouTubers though that do really great content.
Yes.
Those are just two examples that we gave.
The Monster Hunter subreddit is usually very nice. Although they don't like repeat questions, which they get a lot, which I understand. They get frequently, which, should I buy Monster Hunter Generations or should I buy Monster Hunter 4U? So they get that a lot, but that community is very nice and very awesome. So that is a resource if you use Reddit. If you like podcasts, there's us. We make our podcasts every single Thursday. And then finally, there's a new resource, and he is actually here with us. So if you want to chat with him after the show, I know he has business cards and everything, but just started a program called Adopt a Hunter. So if you are a veteran, you can sign up for that, and you will be assigned a newbie to then help. And if you're a newbie and you are looking for a veteran, you can sign up for that, and then I don't know how big their team is, but they will pair you with somebody. And it's really great because I believe they focus on time zones, they focus on what language you speak, they also focus on weapon. So, you know, I can probably teach somebody a hammer or a light bow gun because I'm familiar, but if somebody was to pair me up with a greatsword user, I would be very lost. It's like, that's awesome that you like the greatsword. I'm glad that you like the greatsword. I don't like the greatsword. So I would be a bad veteran to teach you. So they are doing it where, you know, if you're a greatsword user, they're going to pair you with a greatsword newbie. So if you're interested in that, I don't know where they are. So he's in back. So he will be hanging out too. If you want to get one of his cards, sign up to either be helped or to help. It's really, really great. We talked with him for quite a while yesterday. And yeah, I think that's everything we got. If you guys have anything, if you want to, yeah.
So I played it before, but like, I want to get one of my friends into it. What are the best weapons for beginners? And what are the best weapons that I should tell him not to play if he doesn't want to quit?
Sure. So best weapons for beginners and maybe best weapons to stay away from. prior to World, I would usually tell people to stay away from like the bow gun stuff because I didn't think it was very intuitive on the 3DS. I know some people had mastered it. I never could, even though I wanted to. I think it's very, very different in World. I think the bow guns are really easy to use. My go-to weapon is always, I always tell people to start with the dual blades only because I had success with the dual blades when I first started off.
Mm-hmm.
The dual blades. I think the dual blades works because because when I initially went into Monster Hunter, I was hacking and slashing, and I think I quickly learned that Monster Hunter is not a hack and slash game.
No.
But Dual Blades gave me that little bit of like, I can go in there real quick and I can hack and slash and I can jump out, and I had that mobility. That's something you don't really have with like the greatsword or the hammer or the longsword, a little bit quicker, but you don't have that quick mobility to jump out. So I always pointed people at the Dual Blades, and then my second one I pointed people at was just the standard sword and shield. But I don't know if you had other weapon suggestions.
I would say maybe...
I know the easy thing is to be like, just play all of them, but like, they have to start somewhere, right? They have to pick one weapon to start with.
Yeah, and I will say for World, I think this is, they've done a really good job of balancing everything to make it pretty easily accessible for people who are new to any weapon. But I would say maybe to stay away from pointing them in the direction of slower weapons, because from my experience at least, people tend to really not like slower weapons the first time around. They don't like that level of, you know, precise positioning and slow movement, and they want to go in and they want to do some damage quickly and, you know, not miss and not... and that way you're getting knocked around a lot less because they're not, you know, swinging by you.
You're using like a giant switch axe to, like, knock you over.
But... I agree. The ranged weapons, in specifically the light and heavy bowgun in World, are really good starting points, I think. I stayed away from ranged for a long time, and I picked up the heavy bowgun in the beta, and I loved it. It's one of my new mains because of playing it in World. So I think that's a good starting point, and I think a lot of people point in the direction of the sword and shield, too. They've done some different things with the sword and shield in World, but I think that kind of makes it a little bit more accessible, too, for new people. But, again, dual blades are a good option, too, because it gives you that feeling of, like, I'm doing things.
Yeah.
Look, I'm doing things.
Also, if you or your friends fell in love with the light bowgun or the heavy bowgun in the World beta, just keep in mind you're not going to get all that ammo for free when you actually start playing the game.
Yeah.
There's a little maintenance with those weapons.
Yeah.
Opposed to like the hammer or switch axe or something where there's...
And you as the friend may eat a few cluster bombs in the process, but you just be patient, you know?
No, but that was a good question.
Actually, what would be a good complement to, like, what weapons complement each other real well for beginners as well if I'm going to be playing with my friend?
What weapons complement for beginners? So if I notice somebody is, it totally depends on the situation, how many people you're hunting with. I will always go with the hammer, and I will always try to focus on the head because I have no business being by the tail. So if there are a lot of blade people back there, then that's great. They'll chop that tail. I'll work on that head to get that KO. But if there is a hunting horn or another hammer, and there are also blade people, I will then stay back and I will switch to like a light bowgun or a heavy bowgun. But I mean, that's totally up to you and your group. I think if all four people are hammer, that can probably work. But there will be a lot of fighting and probably a lot of knocking each other over. And I think if everyone's blade, that will also work. I think everything works, but if you're comfortable with switching weapons on the fly, you're just benefiting the people you're helping even more. If you're not, that's no big deal. But
I think if you're giving them an opportunity to try multiple things, if they're trying ranged or they say they want to try ranged with them. That way you're both from a distance and you're doing, you know, different things and you're not at risk of hitting each other or whatever. And if they decide they want to try more close combat, they want to try more melee stuff, then... Like he said, maybe alternate, have something that you can work on the front and they can work on the back, or vice versa. Probably a good compliments.
Yeah.
Challenger mantle.
I like challenge because I'm a monster hog. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, putting the challenge mantle on would get the attention off the new players.
So the world has added mantles, which are basically like cloaks, and they have different properties. The Challenger mantle has, it's basically like a shiny, it's got little, chunks of metal on it, and makes noise.
You look like the rainbow fish from that child's book.
Sure, that.
Sweet.
But it draws the attention to you from the monster, and it keeps the attention off of other hunters. So that's a good way, yeah. If you're a veteran and you're helping someone new to keep the attention off of them, you know, while they're learning, but, you know, don't use it all the time because you want them to get used to getting hit or having the focus on them or, you know.
Yeah, bring lots of life powders for your...
Yeah.
You want to go over there? We can hear you. We'll just repeat the question.
Okay. So I thought it'd just be fun. What's your memorable experience in Monster Hunter? Your memorable quest or your memorable moment?
Sure. So most memorable moment in Monster Hunter?
For you, yeah.
I got one. Okay, you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
All right.
I want to hear this first.
Okay. So my most memorable moment was just getting to, I believe it was, I don't remember all the details. It was either Hunter Rank 4 or 5. So I was, in, it was this was 3U on the Wii U. I was making some progress. It was about 2 a.m. and I decided to hunt Durambaros. I think I said that right?
Yeah, not bad.
Not too bad.
Applause.
So, I love that monster. It's a giant goat mountain thing that spins in a circle. It's like Beyblade. It's really cool.
We've compared to Mario Kart. We've compared to Beyblade. Really running the gamut here.
So I can't remember what the area is called, the zone, but I was hunting Durambaros, and I ran into a monster called Devil Joe by mistake. Yeah, and that was a moment I would never forget of just, like, running through the forest, the woods, the jungle, whatever, the lush green, and seeing this green Tyrannosaurus Rex pickle coming roaring through, and then it has, like, this enraged mode where it's, like, very red and it's very built up, and it is a scary monster for your first time.
Yeah.
But this is, like... Why it was, like, so big to me is because I didn't know all these monsters. I was just familiar with, like, the Great Jaggy or some other ones. So, like, I didn't want to look anything up when I was first going through my Monster Hunter experience. So every time I was like, okay, I guess this is the next monster on the list, it was like, oh, this is really cool. But, like, to be hunting Durambaros and having Devil Joe just storm through, I was like, I don't know what to do, guys. What do we do here? So that's, like, I'll never forget that moment. And so when... they announced that Devil Joe was coming to World.
Yeah.
I was just like, that was the first thing I thought of.
My oldest memorable moment was playing 3U with my brother in Philadelphia and fighting Barath for hours and hours on end, trying to get gear. And that was, the first time that I was really like, it's time for fashion. I need, like, we want to get stuff. We just got to grind it out as much as we can. A recent memory, though, that I really enjoyed was there's a YouTuber, a Monster Hunter YouTuber named So Hellkite, and we played some of the beta together, and Great Jagras, who's one of the, it's the beginning, like the beginner monster in the beta, in World, we decided that we wanted to try to kill it as fast as possible. And he had this plan that he wanted to everybody use the sniper mode for the heavy bow gun and plant as many bomb barrels and put as much meat as we could in one spot with a trap to try to get this thing to get in there and then destroy it as quickly as possible. And we spent so long preparing for it, and we were like playing Snake Eater from Metal Gear Solid 3 and like really getting into it, and just totally missed the shot. And it was a disaster. We still killed it pretty quickly, but not as glorious as we were hoping it would be.
I have like a really simple one that reminded me of the beta of just me and another hunter. His name is Battery, but we decided that we wanted to make trank bombs because there's no way to actually capture in the beta unless you go out and you make the bombs yourself. So it was just like this really fun experience of like, okay, we're going to go here and here, and we're going to merge these two materials together, and we're going to have the Trank Bombs to like put them to sleep, and we're going to catch this monster. It's like Pokemon all over again. And even though like that's such a simple thing that you do in the game, it was just the fact that we had to go out onto the field and make the bombs ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, I've never really done that before. So to like, hey, I found the flowers, come over here. And like, all right, I found the berry. I don't even know what you used off the top of my head to mix them, but we made them. And then to like finally like weaken the monster, and it's like, oh, let's not kill it and capture it, because we only have like two bombs each. I think that was just a cool experience, because I'm so used to just making stuff at the hub and then going out and doing it. To actually like do it on the field, I think was just really cool for me. It's so simple, but it was just a different way I've played the game. So,
good question.
Cool. Well, let's.
What's your favorite monster?
Question was favorite monster.
I'm a big fan of Devil Joe. I like Devil Joe a lot.
Okay. Pickle.
I have a handful of favorite monsters. It's hard to pick just one, but off the top of my head, I like Devil Joe a lot.
I like Astalos a lot.
Astalos is good.
I really like the way the gear looks when you finish it. And then the other one I like is I can't even remember what the monster's name is, because I can't. I always say Kool-Aid LaCool.
Kulu Yaku.
Kuya LaCool.
You still didn't get it.
I can never remember its name, but because I always call it Kool-Aid LaCool. But yeah. I love that monster. I spent an entire hunt in the beta just following it around and like watching it like scratch feathers off its head and then like drinking water. And then if you follow it to its nest, it just like eats an egg. And he's, like, really cool.
He's cool. Awesome.
He's cool.
I feel real bad every time.
Every time you kill him? Yeah, that's definitely the first full set of gear I want in World is his or her. I don't know if it's a boy or girl. I guess it could be both. His or her gear.
You're the real monster.
I think somebody had their hand up over here.
Yeah. So I've never played Monster Hunter ever.
Okay.
And I know it's coming out in 2 weeks or whatever, which is fine and dandy, but I'm going to wait for the PC.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Toucadin.
I've never played that.
Toucadin.
I don't know, like, what would be the recommendation there?
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. There are a couple PC options that you have. I'm going to maybe be careful, because I know that there are some Capcom people here. I'm just kidding. I have not played it yet, but from what I understand, Dauntless is a very good, similar experience, and it is PC, and there seems to be a pretty big community for it currently. So that's an option. There is also a Monster Hunter Online that is, I believe, primarily in Chinese. So if you are okay with navigating a language that you don't speak, or if you speak it, then even better. But there are a lot of people that play that as well. It seems to be a lot of people who have high levels of skill that play it, but that's also an option. I don't know what you have as far as consoles, though, or nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I think you might be better off waiting just for the PC. I don't think it's worth at this point just going out getting a 3DS and getting four newer generations, especially if you know your primary method is PC. If you have a Switch, you could import Double Cross, but I only recommend that to people who have played like Generations. I don't speak Japanese. I can get through Double Cross pretty fine because Monster Hunter is such an icon-heavy game. It's like, I know this icon is this monster. I know this icon is this monster. When I'm out hunting, I know this is a whetstone, this is a potion, this is life powder, just because I'm so familiar with the icons. But if you've never played it before, then that's no benefit to you. So
yeah,
they said like fall for that. So I guess it'll be here sooner than you think.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. But
I'll be picking it up for PC as well. So I'm hurting,
but
it'll be good though. It'll be worth the wait. I think the PC community is going to be strong for it.
Yeah. If you guys wanted to follow us on Twitter, it's at Carf Podcast. Otherwise, Carf Podcast will take you right to our SoundCloud page, but we're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Wherever you find podcasts, we are there. We'll wrap up a little early, just so you guys can hit the show floor for the last hour. If you have any more specific Monster Hunter questions, we'll hang around until those are answered. If you want to meet with the gentleman from Adopt a Hunter, they're here. They have little cards if you want to get involved with that community. It sounds like it's going to be really awesome.
He's a super nice guy.
Super nice guy. But yeah, hopefully you all enjoy Monster Hunter World when it comes out. I know I will be. But thank you guys for coming out and enjoy the rest of your packs.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. The music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shout-outs to The Carve's Life Powder supporters, Austin B, Kay, Gavin M, Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.